Here we're Jake Lawrence on K103, 215 on the line with Ian Thornley from Big Rec. Welcome, Ian. First of all, Ian, I'd like to say congratulations. Just found out this morning that your new album, Gray Street, is number one.
That's
incredible.
We've never had a record debut at number one. It'll come out, it'll be number one for a day or two. But actually, I guess it has to be up there, up and around there for an entire week, and then you know, just based on the numbers, they'll determine where it actually stands. And yeah, we got a number one. That's a big deal around here.
Yeah, absolutely, and congratulations on that. I want you to clear something up for me. We were having a discussion here at the radio station because we were talking about the interview today, and I was talking to my boss about it. Big Rec, you guys are labeled on Wikipedia here, and who knows how accurate that is, as a Canadian-American band. How does that work? Which one are you?
Oh, I'm Canadian. I'm from Toronto. I'm born and raised.
Oh, okay.
I went to college in Boston. And that's where I met the other three members of the original lineup. So it was an American band with a Canadian singer.
Right.
We just seemed to get a little more traction in Canada than we did in U.S., certainly after the second record. And then we disbanded for several years, and then Brian and I had sort of reunited. So, I mean, he still is and always will be an American, and I'll always be Canadian. The rest of the guys in the band are Canadian, so. Yeah, I guess that still rings true. It's a Canadian-American alliance, you know.
Oh, okay, then that makes sense, because I noticed on your tour schedule, I mean, you're doing a lot of dates in Canada. You're going to be here, Big Rec's going to be here in March 8th in Montreal, but you have a few dates in New York State and Boston. You guys are fairly popular in Boston?
I honestly don't know. We haven't played there in a long time.
Yeah.
It's certainly not as Big Rec, but it'll be interesting. I know we're going to see a lot of old friends that, guys that I still stay in touch with and that I will still see from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the people that live in Boston. I have a very fond place in my heart, for that city in particular. And of course for New York as well. But, having spent so much time in Boston and living there, it was always sort of a second hometown for me. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going back and honestly just to see a lot of the people I haven't seen in a couple of years. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the show, like if we get a good turnout. I know that I sort of get updated every now and then as far as like where's selling well and what's selling tickets.
Yeah.
I usually don't pay too much attention, but I am kind of curious, and I think it's doing okay. It'll be an interesting night for sure.
Well, no, I think people are going to love you here, because around here, there's a lot of Boston Bruins fans, so you got to give a shout-out to them, you know, so. So, okay, you guys broke up. You mentioned just a little bit earlier, and then in 2010 you reformed again, and my gosh, have you guys been busy. You released Albatross Ghost, this Gray Street, which just came out this month, and you also did a solo album. That's a lot of work, a volume of work you guys have here now. Yeah. Touring.
Yeah, I would rather be busy than not. And I just it's not something that ever really stops for me. I never stop writing and I never stop playing. I know music just never stops. It's an ongoing thing. It's kind of like, it's an obsession. It's beyond that for me. If I have a bit of spare time, I always have a stockpile of music that I can just sort of choose from and decide to work on, and I'm always adding to this stockpile of ideas. So it honestly doesn't feel like I've been really busy. Right now it feels like I've been really busy because we've been on the road for a couple weeks now, but touring through Canada in February. It is a thing, man. All of it is there's colds going around, and it's just been brutal. But the shows have been fantastic. And as I was saying before, I try to sneak in little catnaps wherever I can. That's something I've really taken to in the last couple of years. Is just the value of a nap and how it can refresh you.
And you live longer if you nap. You know that.
Is that true? I can apparently see that making sense.
Yeah.
Even if you're pulling my leg, I'm like, yeah, I buy it. I usually feel a lot better. Even if it's a short little, 20 minute or half hour power nap, I just sort of feel like, okay. Yeah. Even if I don't quite fall asleep, just being able to rest and sort of breathe and almost meditate, it is helpful and just sort of helps regenerate,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing. So I hope we're not waking up and having a nap now.
Anyway. No.
Tell me about your influences, and the reason I'm asking this, I know it's a common question. I was listening to your new album this morning, and I think the neighbors are banging on my door because it was too loud, but it was so good, and refreshing on some of the older songs, ones I played there, like Albatross and Wolves and stuff like that, which I'm familiar with. I'm hearing all kind of influences. Tell me what they are, as far as your guitar work, your vocals and stuff.
I don't know. I mean... I guess a lot of people are saying they're hearing a lot of Queen in a couple of the songs with the vocal approach. And just that's just using stacked so many harmonies on top of one another. And of course, Queen's a huge influence, Freddie Mercury in particular. I think he's one of, if not my favorite voice in rock and roll. And of course, maybe the best frontman that's ever graced the stage.
Absolutely.
Just Freddie Mercury. And, I adore him. And, all the usual suspects. I mean, I've said it 1,000 times, but you got your Led Zeppelin, you got your, I tend to wear all those things kind of on my sleeve when I'm writing and putting stuff together. I let an informed listener know what I'm drawing from. To give them a sort of starting point, and then I'll take it in a different direction from there, and we'll start doing our thing with it. I think I've gotten to the point now where I'm not even thinking about the influences, that the influences themselves can kind of just become a sort of shorthand or a vernacular or something that, what we should do here is do a kind of a Queen thing here. And then, I like the idea of maybe harmonized guitar parts at the end of one good piece of me, which are sadly, they're not really that up in the mix. But there was a total Brian May idea at the end of that thing. But it's just sort of, I think that some of these iconic sounds and these iconic ideas, they're for everybody, Absolutely. Like we are, as many people say, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, and it's all there for me to grab from, it's, all it requires is your ears to be open and put in the work to be able to try and amalgamate all these things into something you can call your own.
Yeah. Well, exactly, and the way I look at it, talking to musicians like yourselves, and you're mentioning influences, you combined all those influences with who you are and what your experience are in life and your input, and that creates something all new. So what you're doing is totally different.
That's the hope, you don't even know. I mean, that's an obvious tip of the hat, sort of mid to late 70s Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
But I also hear like Roxy music in there. I hear some other influences that are just it's hard for me to say. There's the obvious ones that in any one of us who's at least a moderately informed listener or somebody who's a fan of classic rock or whatever. You'd want to classify it. It would be fairly obvious where the influences are, and I think not so obvious is where it's going from there. And maybe that speaks to what you're saying about
absolutely
adding my own experience. And I'm sort of lyrically everything that I draw from is whatever's right on the surface, and that's sort of a common theme that'll run through anything that I've done.
I think I'm going to end with it, and we're talking about those influences in Queen, is the first song off the album, the Big Wreck out, your new one called Gray Street from Big Wreck. It comes as no surprise. That one blew me away. I mean, that one and the last song on the album, these would be my, if you're going to choose a new single, and you can tell Jake suggested it, All My Fears on You.
Yeah, I adore that one as well.
That I'm thinking, because I like to go through them as a little test of working in radio, okay, which one would I pick as the next single? Yeah. And it'd be one of those two. And we'll probably end off the interview in a few minutes with, I think I'm going to play It Comes as No Surprise. It's just an amazing song. Tell me about now your instrumental, Sky Bunk Marché. I love that instrumental on there. Where did that come from? Why?
It was kind of, it was and is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. I find it difficult to hold somebody's attention. Well, it's difficult to hold my attention when I'm listening to instrumental music, you know?
Yeah.
Some guys do it great when they just sort of, when it's fun and sort of whatever. It was Garth's idea. Garth Richardson, who produced the record with us, he just kind of walked into the rehearsal one day and said, you know what we should do? We should do an instrumental. And we all kind of giggled. And he was like, no, I'm serious. It was one of those kind of things. And then my wheels started turning. And I was like, well, why don't I take, like, all these other songs that we were working on, different riffs and ideas and song parts and, you know, all the stuff that's sort of on the cutting room floor. Mm. And I just went home that night and started figuring out a way, just sort of noodling around on the guitar and figuring out a way that I could these different parts together and sort of Frankenstein a bedrock that over the top I would just play a lot of notes, you know. It was essentially like that, and it really did come together very quickly with the three of us, with Dave McMillan and Chuck Keeping and myself just sort of batting around and, okay, here's what we'll do here and then we'll go there. How do we do? Just threw together a quick arrangement, started jamming over it, and then, you know, it kind of tells you where it wants to go, and you just sort of follow your nose, and then it's like, okay, that's good.
Oh,
now let's try it with, and before you know it, I don't even know how to describe it, because there's people who do instrumental music, and they do it, that's what they do, and that's their forte, and, you know, they would probably giggle if they heard this, you know, I that's what I would think. But, I mean, I do stand behind it as far as it being sort of a lighthearted breather from some of the lofty stuff that's on that record, you know. There's a lot of heavy emotional stuff on it. And just for somebody to just sort of wank on a guitar for 7 minutes, that's kind of, you know, sometimes that's just what the doctor ordered.
Well, you know what? Someone like me who loves guitar playing and listening to guitar players, when it comes to music, that's where I go first. And I heard that one, I go, that's a fun song. Now, I'd love to drive to that song.
Nice. There you go. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, absolutely. It's okay. Tell me, unfortunately, I'm going to try to make it your show when you come here March 8th with Big Rec at the Corona Theater here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls I work with, Susie, who just left, says, Jake, you got to see these guys. You got to see them live. It's a total experience. What do you guys throw into your live show that resonates like that for everybody?
I don't know. I just try to get better with every show.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the guys, I think I speak for the guys as well. And it's something we take very seriously. And, you know, it's not,
well, as you should, yeah.
It's not all, you know, 20 years ago, it was part and parcel with the sort of rock and roll lifestyle and partying and all that.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh yeah, we got to hit the stage for a couple hours. It's really not. It's changed drastically.
Yeah.
But I mean, the passion for the music, of course, has not waned whatsoever. If anything, it's grown. For me, with age, and I think, and then live, it's just, you know, taking better care of myself and warming up and taking the show seriously. I've actually started to take vocal lessons, and they're really starting to pay dividends. Like I said, I'm just sort of coming off having this weird sort of sinusy head cold thing. And I've been able to, I didn't have to cancel any shows. I didn't even have to alter the set list. I was just sort of pinning all the notes, and I can tell you, not even 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have had to cancel the show. And that's just because of, you know, just the sort of dedication to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you pour all that time and dedication into it, and then by the time you hit the stage, you're able to forget about all of it, and you're able to sort of open a vein emotionally and let it all come out. And it all comes out through all the practice and hard work and everything, and it, you know, hopefully everything comes out on the right time, at the right time, and the right notes, you know, and the right words. That's another thing that's getting harder for me as I as I write more music, there's just so many words floating around up there. I just hope I grab the right one at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the fun part of the interview as we end it off, and I like to do this a lot of interviews. Just easy, fun questions, you know, nothing too serious. If you could play with any musician on stage, dead or alive, who would it be? Your ultimate fantasy here.
I would love to have felt what it was like to be on stage with John Bonham. I bet you that would have been quite a thing. I have a lot of those. There's a ton of people that suck.
Sure.
That was just the, sort of the first one that springs to mind. I love playing with hard-hitting drummers that have a great pocket, you know, okay. As Chuck does, and then certainly Forrest did. Seku from the Thornley days just had these guys who play the drums as an instrument, not as a bunch of different things that you hit at different times. They play the whole kit as an instrument.
And right.
Something tells me that the air just moved in a particular way when that guy played. I mean, you can hear it on record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to have just been in the room. I don't even need to play. I just want to listen to
it. Just sit there and watch, eh?
Yeah.
Well, for a guitar player, that's an interesting answer because most wouldn't mention.
Yeah, I get off on playing with drummers. There's something about just grooves and rhythms and how you can mess with them and play with them and, yeah. You know. That really sort of fascinates me.
Guilty pleasure on or off the road, doesn't matter where.
Oh, guilty pleasure. Pizza is always a guilty pleasure.
That's a good one.
You gotta kind of watch your dairy when you're on the road because it helps with phlegm and all that. That'll make you have a bad night pretty quick. So uh-huh. I love pizza. Like I always say that. Like I just look at it sometimes. You know, when it was like a restaurant or like a little diner, and they have those little trays where there's a pizza. I'll just look at it for a few minutes. I don't like you could wake me up out of a dead sleep and say, "You want some pizza?" I'd be like, "Yes, I do." but you have to be careful with that stuff when I'm singing every night.
Because, yeah.
You know, tomato sauce will give you heartburn, especially if you're bouncing around in a bunk on a tour bus.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And the cheese will you know, get the phlegm going in your vocal cords. So, yeah, I don't get to eat pizza. I mean, every once in a while, sneak a slice in if I have a day off coming up, you know. But that's what the crew, invariably, every night, like, I'm eating, like, chicken and salad. And the crew's always got these big, giant, beautiful pies of pizza waiting for them. And I'm just like, come on, man, just give me one. That's a guilty pleasure. I really enjoy it.
I love that answer. A lot of guys would admit that. That's a great answer. One last question before we go. I saw a picture of you, and I think it was you. Can't remember the magazine online. You have a lot of guitars. What's your if you had to pick up one of them? If I said pick up a guitar and play, which one would be your favorite?
I have a new signature model with Sewer, and I think by far, I think right now that's my favorite guitar. I've never played anything. I mean, it's all sort of designed off of my specs. I mean, they're all John Sewer's designs, of course, but mm-hmm. I've been playing his guitars for several years, and they're probably the finest guitars on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's become a wonderful friend as well. And just sort of it came up. It was like, well, why don't we do a signature model? And I was like, are you serious? That's sort of every guitar player's dream.
Yeah.
It was just sort of, we started batting around ideas. What do you want to do? It took maybe a little over a year of picking stuff, but now it just sort of it's custom fit to me, you know. It's just sort of tailored sonically. It sounds everything I want out of it. It does.
Oh, nice.
And it feels, of course, like an old baseball mitt that you know that you've worn in yourself. It already feels like that. And it looks killer. It's just all around. I'm so thrilled to have a signature model. Like I could just talk to you for an hour about that alone.
Well, one of these days, I do bring musicians in once in a while to do that and to sit there and talk guitars for an hour, you know, to love it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's kind of my thing, you know.
If you're in town and you're here for a few days, that's what we're going to do, and I'll bring some guys in. You guys can have the airways for an hour or two.
Right on.
All right, Ian, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely.
Once again, Big Rec at the Corona Theater Montreal on March 8th, putting on a fantastic show. Thank you again for taking the time. Ian, this is the one I'm going to leave you with, our audience with. The first thing, it comes as no surprise. This is one of the ones that hit me so big this morning. And so we're going to leave the audience with that song. And hang on the line. I'll just properly say goodbye to you in a few seconds. This is Big Rec from the new album, Grey Street. It's called It Comes as No Surprise on K103.